Yes, good morning, everyone. It is Thursday, September 29, Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening as we're 3 days away from the Premiership Decider, the Western Sydney Derby, Penrith and Parramatta. And last night we had the Dally M Awards there at the Wink Stand at Royal Randwick, and Nicho Hynes, he won in a canter in the end with 38 votes, I should say. So that's the highest tally in the history of the award. And filling the podium, I guess, James Tedesco of the Roosters, 33, and Ben Hunt on 32. They were well clear of the next, nine clear of the rest. In fact, Hunt from Scott Drinkwater and Dylan Edwards on 23, Mitch Moses 22. But all honours with Nicho Hynes. Morning to you, Lozza. He's the first Cronulla player to win it since Preston Campbell back in 2001.
Yeah, morning, fellas. Congratulations to Nicho Hynes. He's had an exceptional year, hasn't he? Really, it's his first season as a starting player. He's been down there in the Melbourne Storm system for a number of years, never really got an opportunity to start. He was always coming off the interchange bench or getting his opportunity when someone was out with an injury. But he's handled it with aplomb this season. He's been fantastic pickup for the Sharks. He took them all the way and deep into the semi-finals series. Unfortunately, they were knocked out in week two. And they lost their first two games, but I think he led them extremely well. I thought it might have been a little bit tighter. In fact, I was surprised that he'd won by a margin. I thought it would have come down to that last round. Always had my concerns about Ben Hunt, just given that the Dragons didn't win a lot of games towards the back end of the year. I thought Nicho Hynes would pile well, as did James Tedesco. But I think overall it was a fantastic night. The team of the year was announced as well. I don't think you could argue with that. You know, Tedesco was at fullback. Suwali'i was on the wing with Alex Johnson. The centres, Joe Manu and Valentine Holmes. 5'8", Cam Munster. Obviously, Nicho Hynes was the halfback. The props, Payne Haas and Joe Tarpany, who had an excellent season with the Canberra Raiders. Abby Corrissau was the hooker, and he gets to play in a grand final on Sunday, as does Viliami Kikau, who was in the back row. Good to see young Jeremiah Nenai get a return for his investment this season. He's been outstanding and was also named the Rookie of the Year. And Isaiah Yeo, I don't think anyone could doubt the impact that he's had on this Penrith team. Coach of the Year, Toddy Payton. We spoke yesterday about the coach and how, you know, the grand final coaches, we thought one of them should be able to win the award because they've taken their teams right until the last week of the comp. But I don't think anyone could argue with Todd Payton's influence and impact that he's had up there with the North Queensland Cowboys, in particular coming off a year last year, which everyone thought it might go pear-shaped for him. You know, there was talk about fallouts with senior players. They didn't play good football. They lost in round one to Canterbury. And I think a lot of people thought that the Cowboys would be running top four, but he managed to turn them around. They finished second. They made it through to a prelim final and went down only by a couple of points to Parramatta last weekend.
Pump morning to you, mate, to Nicho Hynes. I think for a long time we've had this sort of perception that players that leave the Melbourne Storm and its system regress. Not the case with Nicho Hynes, that is for sure.
Yeah, morning, boys. Morning to our listeners. He's been exceptional. And I think it's been said a few times throughout the season, but particularly last night, it's not just about what he's done off the field. I think he's everyone in the Sutherland Shire has certainly fallen in love with him. You know, the way he gives back to the game, to the community. I think his football on the field's been outstanding. It's nearly like, I think Nicho, and some players are like this, I think Nicho's become a better player with more responsibility. So he's enjoyed a leadership role that he has at the Sharks that he didn't get at Melbourne. And he was up for that. He made that very clear when he went to the club. And it seems to me like he's got an unbelievable respect and relationship for Craig Fitzgibbon as well, the coach of the Sharks. So, hopefully he continues to play the brand of footy that he has done. The Sharks keep winning. And, who knows? There's obviously, I'm sure he wants to play for New South Wales, play Origin and get picked in that Australian team as well.
What an honour roll he joins, Nicho Hynes. When you look back, Jay Thurston, Billy Slater. How many times did Thurston win it? Four, five? Plenty. Andrew Johns. who won it three times, Alan Langer, and in 1995, L. Daly. What are your memories of the night, Loz?
I wasn't there.
Perfect.
That was the memories. I was on the Gold Coast.
Had a little bit less pageantry and fanfare in 1995.
Yeah. You know what?
Can't remember how they did it.
No, I don't think it was a night. I don't think it was a night. I remember they told me, they rang me, they found me, and they needed a photo of me with the Dally M. And I said, well, I'm at the Gold Coast, so I can't get anywhere for a photo. So they sent a photographer to the tavern I was at the time to take a photo of me.
What are you in, boardies and a singlet?
Yes. No, I had a T-shirt on.
Okay.
My shirt. No, I think I might have had a collared shirt. Anyway, I was at the Gold Coast. There was no Dally M reception. I don't know why. Because there was previously and after that. I don't know why they
called
it off.
So the year that you win it?
Yeah.
Nothing?
Nothing, yeah.
Hmm.
So, but I wouldn't complain. As in, look, I like the night and I think it's great where everyone can get dressed up and go and celebrate. But for me, I don't even like going to those type of nights. You know, while they're fantastic for the players, it's just not my scene. You know, I've been before, but I'm grateful that I get the opportunity to get invited every year as a past winner. But now it's more about the players and their partners and going celebrating the season that they've had and be recognised for their achievements. But yeah, I mean, when you went, you always used to have a good time. The Rothmans Medal was the one at the time as well. There was two awards, so they had the Rothmans Medal and then they had the Dally M Award as well. So it was different. It was completely different back when we were running around in the early 90s.
Because I'm guessing probably grand final week in 95, you went out in the prelim, is that right? So you're probably on end of season trip.
Yeah, and I think they had it on the Monday after the last round.
Oh, okay, right.
As well. And I think they changed it because they knew that a lot of players wouldn't go because they were on their Mad Mondays or they were just away, on trip aways. So I think they changed it then to grand final week.
Mm. Just your say on the text line 0419 767 272. Todd Payton is one very impressive individual, articulate, caring, sharing, and downright smart. A very long and successful career ahead, says JD Bear, sending that one through. And just gave a little clip to the referees in his acceptance speech as well. Fair enough. Pup, the Alan Border Medal night, though, how much did you enjoy it as a player? Because... not for everyone. How did you enjoy it?
No, we didn't even really, you didn't really get to celebrate too much because we were generally in the middle of the Australian summer or had to pack up and go on tour somewhere. So, yeah, the players didn't love it that much at all, to be honest. It was nice to get everyone in the room and it's sort of, you feel like it's a bit of a celebration to the end of the season. But, yeah, sometimes, depending how much you had on, even when you won, you knew you had to be up at 5 a.m. the next day to do all the media stuff before going to training or getting on a plane somewhere. But I think it's, in a team sport, it's nice to recognise, the standout individual performances from that year. But I think the players would take a win over that individual award. But it is not. I think the Dally M's probably... probably bigger than what the AB medal's always been. You know, I know Cricket Australia always found it hard to try and sell the night or get it televised. Nine did it because that was part of the contract, but I don't think it was followed anywhere near like the Dally M's.
Guys, watched the DMs and thought it was a great night, especially having the girls with them for an award show. 10 out of 10. How impressive was Nico, says Rooster Dan. Morning, fellas. We hear about Latrell Mitchell as the huge face of the game, but I think last night shows that Nico Hines is who we should be promoting to our youth. Dally M winner, proven summons medal, an absolute gentleman and a pin-up boy. Is he the new ET and Loz of the NRL, asks Shire
Here we
Rats.
Go. Here we go. Let's build him up as much as we can. So if he makes one tiny error, we can smash him. Here we go. He's been awesome though, Loz, hasn't he?
Oh, he's been exceptional.
The way he's represented the game, I reckon. Like, we didn't really know that much about him from Melbourne. Like, he was playing off the bench, wasn't he?
He was. And the interesting thing for me was that Nico has done it the hard way as well. He's had his own issues with depressions.
Yeah.
He's had suicidal thoughts at times during his stint down there in Melbourne. He hired a mind coach when he moved up here to Sydney. He's had some challenges as a kid. He was in the system at Manly and then was out of the system, got picked up by Melbourne, but then had to play up there in the Queensland Cup. So he's done it the hard way, but yet he's persevered and he's been rewarded for that with a big money deal at the Sharks, but then he's also repaid the Sharks with an outstanding performance. And not only is he a wonderful player, he's a great human being off the field. And he carries himself so well. And he's an inspiration for a lot of kids. And people in the Shire are very lucky to have him representing their club.
Is he a rep player, Loz?
Yeah, I think he is. I think he's certainly got the ability. He's got the calmness. That's what I like about Nico. I think that he's a guy that, in all situations, he's never flustered, and that's what you want from a number seven. You want someone that's always in control, even when things are going pear-shaped, and for me, that's what he seems to have.
Would it be silly of him not to play six at the Sharks rather than seven in regards to trying to represent New South Wales? With obviously Nathan Cleary owning that number seven for however long he wants, I would assume. Or do you think it makes no difference? If he's playing good footy, whether it's 7-6-1, there'll be an opportunity for him.
Well, he's proven himself as a seven this year. I must say, at the start, I had my doubts that he'd have the same impact that he's had because I thought that, it'll take him a bit of time to, settle into that role, playing in a new system with a new coach, new teammates.
Yep.
He just won't hit the ground running. But he's impressed me right since the get-go, and he's improved as the season has gone along. I think he feels comfortable now as a seven. Mm. And I don't think he's really thinking about, playing rep football at this stage, although now he's got a bit of a taste for it. I'm sure he wants to play rep football, but I think his main focus would be on the Sharks and if they need him to play seven. And I think, like anyone, because he's got that responsibility, he gets first touch of the ball, he's in that leadership role there now. To take that away from him, I don't know, to play a secondary role, I think he's... main responsibility now is to get his hands on the ball and get this team moving and humming. And I think he did it so well that if he was thinking about playing representative football, even if he moved to fullback or 5'8", he's still got a bit of a fight on his hands to be the first up starter in those positions. But what he does, he adds value and versatility to any team he's in.
While we're on the topic of representative football, hey, Loz, how many do you take on the World Cup squad? Thanks, no name to that one.
But 24.
24. And that'll come out at some stage after the selectors meet on Monday after the grand final. And Nico, certainly a feature of the papers today. Sharks half puts pedal to metal to win Dally M. Nico time, the headline on the back page of the Daily Telegraph, the Australian. Hines, a runaway Dally M medal winner. The back page there, front page of the Telegraph, and heading towards Sunday night, grand larceny, scalpers seek $1,000 for match tickets. So, this is something that's not unusual, I guess. Scalpers going and scooping up tickets and then whacking them on sites like eBay and asking for more than a grand for a ticket. And, it's prohibited in New South Wales to resell tickets for more than 10% their value. So, this article saying that Peter Vlandis is taking up the matter with the state government, and as should be the case, the Department of Fair Trading has got to look into these scalpers and, I guess, stop them from ripping people off.
They must have a group of people, do they? Must be like a little...
I think there are people out there, Loz, that for major events like this, they just have ways.
But how do they get on? That's exactly right.
I don't know.
Like, if it's one or two, I think, oh, well,
is there a restriction how many tickets you can buy?
Sure,
can I go, can
is,
I go and buy is. 50 tickets?
No,
oh,
I don't,
no,
think, there
I don't
is.
Think so.
That's what I mean. There must be a lot of people involved.
Mm. Yeah. Has to be.
There has to be a lot of people involved that just go on at the same time, or they know how to get on and get tickets, and whether it's four or six, they all get them, and then they just go and put them on eBay to sell.
Mm.
It'd have to be a little group. It couldn't be just one or two people.
Happens with
that amount of tickets.
Major concerts as well, yeah. All that sort of stuff.
So. What do you have to show identification to buy a ticket?
They'd be able to track them. I'm sure they would be able
surely.
To.
Surely.
Could you have 10 names? Or do you have to show...
Well, I wouldn't have a
clue. License, how's it work? Photo ID, how does it work?
Well, if you buy them online with your credit card, I suppose.
Mm.
Yeah, so you could be 10 different people, right?
I'm not a dodgy bugger, so I've got no idea.
I can't remember buying a ticket online for a while.
Yeah, I've got a couple of mates. Opportunity,
mate, Knox.
But hopefully, yeah, this is, not unusual to see this sort of scalping, but hopefully they're caught because it's an absolute rip-off for sure. In the City Morning Herald, Moses can finally lead Eels to promised land. This is Andrew Johns' column in the Herald, but his prediction for the grand final is a 6-point win to the Panthers. First try scorer, Clint Gutherson, he says, and the Churchill medalist is saying Dylan Edwards. Dylan Edwards last night, how'd he poll? 23 votes in the Dally M, so he was 15 behind Nico Hines, but he was the leading Penrith player, and he was awarded the Penrith Player of the Year as well, Dylan Edwards. He wondered with Dylan Edwards, I have to check when his contract expires, but I'm sure he loves being at Penrith. He's a Penrith player through and through, but he can't sit there on the money he's on at the moment for too much longer if he continues to produce.
Well, he's an $800,000 player.
Easily. He's on nowhere near that.
I don't know what he's on, but he's an $800,000 player. You'd have someone snap him up tomorrow. In fact, that's probably cheap for him at the moment, $800,000. The importance of a fullback these days, the amount of work they do, and the way that he's playing, and he can play through pain, as we witnessed last season, and his game in the grand final was exceptional. So, Penrith are going to have a difficult task on their hands trying to re-sign all these players when they become available, because they're worth a lot more money now than what they were when they signed.
He's under contract until 2024 for the next three seasons. Across in AFL, a champion of the game retired yesterday, and in the Australian, I knew it was last 15 mins of my career. Joel Selwood, the Geelong captain. And he decided about 6 weeks ago, win, lose or draw in the final series, that this was going to be his final season, and only told a very select few people at the time. 34 years of age, 355 games, 4 premierships. And his coach, Chris Scott, said, taking everything into consideration, he's the best player he's seen. I'm sure a very emotional Chris Scott, but you think of the players he played with in that Brisbane Lions champions team of the early 2000s. But 16 seasons. I'll tell you what, his durability loss. The least amount of games he played in 16 seasons was 15, and that was the COVID year in 2020 when the season was reduced anyway.
By the sounds of things, though, Mido, the impact that Joel Selwood has had has been about setting the standard for the football club in how they prepare and how they drive their training sessions as well. Because everyone you speak to talks about him being the one that turned it around in terms of how we approach our footy. This is how we prepare for a game of football. And he's just been a leader ever since, right since he walked in the doors of the footy club. So the influence that he's had on the group has been enormous, both on and off the field and how you conduct yourself. The other one for me is, imagine playing your last game, knowing it's your last game and it's a grand final.
And you're up by 70 points.
Like you can just sit around and take it all in.
Oh, it would have been beautiful.
You're not stressing, you're not competing, you're not what they call staying in the moment. Mm. You can actually dare to think about what's just happened here, how this game's unfolded, how great my career has been, the teammates I've played with, all those type of things at some stage would have been going through his mind. It might have been in the last 10 minutes of the game, but he would have thought about all that type of stuff.
Mm.
And what a great way to finish your career when you can do that. And just looking around the MCG going, wow, I've been able to do this, been able to achieve four grand final wins, playing my last game here at the MCG in front of 100,000 people.
And it just goes to show, Pup, there's no, I guess, quality in a sportsman or sports person like availability. And I'm sure as a cricket captain, you know, like I look at someone like Ryan Harris, who you know, have the highest of praise for. Mm. If his body could have held up, who knows what he could have been. But Joel Selwood, someone who, because he was so available and could set the standards he set, goes down as one of the all-time greats.
Yeah, well, I think that's why I'm so protective of that word, great. I think it's handed out too easily. And to achieve greatness, a big part of that is longevity in your sport. Because what longevity entails is not only the highest of highs and lowest of lows, but it's the mental discipline to be the best you can be. You've got to pick yourself up on days. You've got to pull your head in on days. You've got to, you know, you go make 100 or you go get 3 ducks in a row. It's like, you know, he is a great of the game. There's no doubt about it. And it's because, like you say, Mido, he very rarely did he miss a game. I don't know too many athletes that played at the highest level that walked out onto the field feeling 100% many times. You very, very rarely are you 100%. There is always a niggle. There is always something, you know, mentally, physically that's going on that, you know, that's a distraction. But the greats find a way to cross that line and perform consistently, and he's certainly been one of those.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast this Thursday morning. We've got Joshy Reynolds coming up shortly. By the way, great to see quite a few people there at the Big Sports Breakfast Grand Final lunch at Rose Hill yesterday, Loza.
Oh, it's always good to see great people, you know, and Joshy's one of the great people that we know, and he's been a big part of the Big Sports Breakfast this year, and as has Blocker. I think everyone enjoyed themselves yesterday. Hopefully they had a win on the punt. I tell you what, everyone was on that Godolphin horse in the first. Everyone I spoke to. So I reckon most people filled their pockets yesterday, but no, it was good. Grand final week, always exciting. There's always plenty on. It's good to see a lot of people out there yesterday, but Grubby and Blocker, they're on the program today. We'll get their thoughts on this year's grand final. I think it's going to be one of the great grand finals.
I think
it's going to be a very, very tight game. I don't think there's too much in it. I think that Penrith have been the outstanding side for at least 3 seasons, and they're entitled to go in as favourites. But I just get the feeling that this Parramatta team can cause a massive upset.
Would be one of the great upsets.
Well, price-wise, it would be.
Yeah.
Like, there's a big difference in the price going into this game. I think Penrith are $1.38 and Parramatta are $3.10. I think that could change. I think a lot of money has to come for Parramatta, doesn't it?
There will be, but I think the bookies will be very reluctant to lay Penrith.
Right.
Yeah, I think that they will be happy to they take on Parramatta.
Yeah, right. Well, I can understand why. They've probably been their best friend for the last 36 years, because we know that they're a massive supporter base. We know when they're up and about, people will want to support them and they get behind them. But I just think that, you know, there'll be a lot of money and a lot of support come for Parramatta.
I'll tell you what, Pup, our great mate Josh Reynolds, a couple of things. Now, firstly, I don't know if you saw his story on Channel 9 the other night, but it's well yesterday at our grand final lunch. That chest is looking just very strong. Or the shirt, is he just going...
Tight shirt.
Is he going a size down in the shirt department at the moment?
There's a tight shirt as well. Makes your arms look a bit bigger as well. But no, he looks in good nick. I had a good chat. I sat next to Joshy yesterday at the lunch. I had a good chat to him just about, you know, his attitude, his mindset. And, mate, I'm so excited for him. You can hear in his voice he's still so in the game. You speak to a lot of players when they're close to retiring or they're undecided about what decision they want to make. Josh is nowhere near that. He's not even thinking about retirement. He's that pumped to have a big preseason and and get an opportunity. And yeah, it's nice to hear as well. You know, players get to a certain stage and of their career, and you wonder, do they have different priorities? Are they thinking different things? You know, mentally, are they a bit fatigued? Well, speaking to Josh yesterday, he is the complete opposite, and I think the Bulldogs would be lucky to have him.
He did look big yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah. And he's got the fashion. Or he's up and about. Like,
yeah.
He had the white trousers on, didn't he?
The white trousers, the little loafers.
Yeah, he looked trendy.
He looked very trendy.
Yeah.
He might have even pipped you, pup.
Awesome.
In the trendy
I agree. Yeah. Awesome.
Morning, Josh.
Good morning, boys. How are we?
Very well, thanks, mate. Who did dress you yesterday? You dress yourself, don't you?
I do dress myself, but I'm not going to lie. My partner did help me. I tried on about 7 shirts, all mediums, and then I went with the small. So
I was about to say, Grubby, your chest was looking big, but just the fashion sense, I just noticed that you've gone up a notch or two. It was outstanding dress wear you had on yesterday.
So were you pretty much trying to say, I used to be a dag, Loz?
Well, I thought you were sort of in my sort of, you know, my sort of zone as a dresser, I thought. But yesterday you turned up and even I went, wow, the grub. What are you doing here, son?
Yeah. Oh, thanks, mate. You know what, boys? But a lot of the time when I come on the show, I hear what you talk about a couple of minutes before and you're always into me about stuff. But you know what? Today I will walk with my chest out. Yeah. You wrap me up. So thank you very much.
Yeah, enjoy it. It only happens this week, buddy.
Oh, okay.
We'll be back to sledging next week.
I actually like the sledging better, to be honest.
Tell us about your first week or so back, you know, I guess training in earnest to potentially be a Bulldog again and getting in that hurt locker ahead of this train and trial deal coming up.
Yeah, Mido, mate, it's coming fast. You know, 2 weeks ago it was 8 weeks, and now there's 6 weeks. So, mate, I'm timing my run. I'm just not trying to, you know, go too crazy at the moment. There's still football being played. It's crazy. I'm thinking about running around an oval 30 times, and there's still a grand final to be played this week. But at the same time, mate, I'm actually enjoying what I'm doing. I enjoy going to the gym sort of by myself, and you know, no real like program to go by. I just sort of do my own thing and get up early, get my day going, and I've just been going down the oval. I'm only a couple hundred metres away from Belmore Oval at the moment, so I've just been going around, kicking a few balls around, mate. And as Clarkie said, it's actually exciting for me. And I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know why I'm excited for pre-season, but at the same time, it is a big opportunity for me. And I know what I want to do. I've got it in my head, and I've got a very clear plan of, you know, what role I want to play there. So it is exciting, and I just can't wait to sort of get in there and try and get in that top 30.
Were you surprised with the winner of the Dally M last night, Nicho Hynes, or did you think he'd fight out the finish?
I definitely thought he was in amongst it, Loz. Did I think he was going to win it? Probably not. Obviously, all the talk was around Benny Hunt, and he did have a great season. But for me, I'm really glad he got it, because the Sharks, you know, they were a force throughout the whole season, and Nicho Hynes was a massive, massive part of that. And what a journey for him. You know, he was playing in 2019, he was playing reserve grade. Found his way into the Melbourne squad, sort of playing as a backup, and you know, having some really good touches in that Melbourne team, and you know, watching him, you knew that he was going to be a great player. And you know, Craig Fitzgibbon takes a massive punt to bring him to the Sharks as their halfback, and God, he produced. You know, he's just got a great touch. You know, he doesn't play like a natural halfback either, I don't think, Loz. I think he's still got that bit of fullback about him, so he pops up sort of, you know, on the inside of players and whatnot, but yeah, he's massive for the Sharks, and I think, you know, he's going to be a massive part of their, you know, establishment if they're going to, you know, win a grand final in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, Josh, I was going to ask, where do you think his best position is? Because I was asking Loz today, I've no doubt if you're winning the Dally M, there's obviously, you know, the next stage for you is Origin or representing your country, but where does he play for New South Wales? And he seems like he's that good a player. He can play 7, 6, 1, 14, doesn't really matter, but where do you think he's best suited?
Yeah, you're 100% right, Clarky. You know, he's won the Dally M now, and he'd be lying if he said he didn't have Origin, you know, in the back of his mind. The good thing for him, you know, in that Origin arena, he's obviously coming up against Nath Cleary, and, you know, he will be hard to knock off from that 7. But, you know, he could definitely play 6. You know, that's no knock on Jerome. But in that arena, he can play that running style of a 5-8 game where, you know, Nathan does what he does. And Nico, having a fullback background, he could definitely play in that 5-8 role, mate. But at the same time, I think he could play 14, because he does play a few positions. He could probably play anywhere in the back line. But probably, Clarky, to answer your question, before this year, if someone told me he was a halfback, I probably would have said, I don't think so. I just didn't know he had, you know, possessed such a great kicking game. And just, I suppose, a vision for the game. But now, yeah, mate, I definitely think he's a halfback and a great one at that.
Yeah.
Toddy Payton, Coach of the Year. I think he's had an outstanding season coming off of the back of last year, and he was able to guide his team to a prelim final. No surprises there?
No way, Loz. He was unbelievable. You know, from where the Cowboys come from last year and the type of team they were to, you know, missing out just on a grand final, he definitely deserved that. And he's definitely created a culture up there of, you know, it's the one thing I think about when I think about the Cowboys, Loz, is they just compete. They haven't got the, you know, nowhere near the best side on paper compared to a couple of these, you know, bigger sides. But yeah, I just love the way they compete. You know, a guy like Tom Dearden, what he's done this year, you know, turned his whole career around. You know, he's one of the top 5-8s now, and I think that's just off the back of a lot of effort plays and, you know, just putting himself in the picture. So yeah, I really enjoy the Cowboys as a team because they work hard for each other. Yeah, and I think Toddy's done a great job there.
Josh, at the lunch yesterday, you were asked about, you know, your two grand finals. You said in 14, you know, you probably weren't much of a chance against the Bunnies, although you really went blow for blow with them for about 70 minutes in that grand final. But in 2012, you know, you sort of lament the fact you were probably a better team heading into that match against Melbourne. You lost 14-4. So when you think Penrith Parramatta this week and you think back in 2012... what do you feel you got wrong during the week that these sides have to, I guess, be aware of heading into a big one in a GF, particularly Penrith, I guess, who are expected to win?
Yeah, it's a good question, Mino. It is a hard week because it's such a massive build-up. And do you know the one thing I will say about Para? It's going to be hard for them because they've got a massive fan base. And it's very different, you know. Pretty much every training session, I'm not too sure, but was if Parra have done it, but was open for us. So you've got fans there and they're chanting. It's like a game, you know. You get excited, and you know, as I said, you walk through the streets. When I lived in Belmore, and people are just going off. It's hard not to get, you know, caught up in all the excitement. At the same time, you know, the boys have got to enjoy it for what it is. But you know, you've got a job to do, and that's the main. Priority. You know, Sunday's a massive occasion, and you don't want to be thinking about, I suppose the thing, you know, some boys could be thinking about, and it's the worst thing you could possibly do is say, you know what, we've got here, whatever happens, happens. It's a massive chance to be in the grand final, boys. It comes very, very rarely, and you just can't take it lightly. So I know it's an old cliche, but you just got to do what you do week in, week out. You know, throughout the year, and unfortunately, Parramatta have been a bit up and down. So for them, they just got to turn up and, you know, play their power game, as you know, I've spoken about with Loz before. Not try and play all these set plays that they try and set up for sometimes, and then I think that will give them the best chance. But for Penrith, I think they know what to do. They never seem to be rattled by big occasions. Last week showed me down 12-0 that they never get rattled, and that's a big thing for a team. So I think Penrith will be too good on the day, boys, but you know, I think Power are going to show up and you know, give them a really good game.
Yeah, I think it'll be a tremendous game of footy. I really do. I think Parramatta come into this game, and knowing that you've beaten a side, regardless of who's been on the paddock or who hasn't been on the paddock, if you've beaten a side twice during the year, you're confident when you come up against them and they have belief. And that's one thing Parramatta may have lacked in the past, that definite belief that we can win, we can beat this side. I think that's a different psyche for them coming into the grand final, knowing that they've beaten Parramatta twice. They haven't just beaten them once, they've beaten them twice. And for me, that's a massive factor heading into this game. Because while people are saying they can't win and they'll thrive on that underdog tag, I just think that they'll be planning a surprise for Penrith early in this contest.
Yeah, I agree with you, Loz. I don't think they're just going to, you know, roll over and you know, lose. But what does scare me a bit is Bailey Simonson. Great player, you know. I think he's a really, really good winger. But to come into the centres on a grand final, on a massive occasion, it's going to be tough for him. I think they'll go after him, the Panthers. I really do. Will he play on the left, Loz?
He plays on the left. So he'll be left centre with Siva.
Okay, that's okay. I was going to say... It was going to be an interesting afternoon if he was with Blake, because there's another guy.
Yeah, I think you split them up.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah. After that last game. Yeah, and I'm sure Nath will have in his head. Because let's face it, it's going to go set for set at the start like the last game did. And then, you know, Nathan started putting up those torpies and it changed the game. So that's probably a bit of a secret weapon that he has got. In his back pocket, he'll probably just, you know, pop them up end over end at the start, and then, you know, when he feels they got to put the foot down, he'll start, you know, putting them up. But yeah, for me, I think it's going to be a tough day for Bailey, unfortunately.
I'm sitting here now, and I can't wait for that first floater to Wonga Blake. So I'm nervous about it. What is he thinking? No way you're sleeping at night, Joshy. You know it's coming. The whole world knows it's coming. I reckon it'll be a miracle if he catches it. I hope he does, but it'll be a miracle. I'm nervous sitting here.
You know what, Clarky, too, as well? He can catch 100 of anyone's bombs. Mitchell Moses' bombs, Dylan Brown's bombs.
Not the same.
And you're not ready. you're still not prepared.
It's like a high ball when you're fielding. Once you've dropped a few, mate, you were praying to God it doesn't come to you.
Yeah, it's and you know what, the thing about Nathan at the moment, even if he gets kick pressure, he still can hit him.
Yeah.
So he's just got that good at him that he knows exactly where he's got it, his hands have got to be on that ball and the exact drop of the ball needs. And yeah, you know, I do feel sorry for the back five. Man. Even I remember we asked Gutho the last time they played Nathan, you know, do you have to sort of your back three set up a bit different, you know, is there a bit more video done throughout the week? And he said that there was, because, you know, Nathan's just so good at picking the back three apart. So, yeah, I'm sure they'll do the work, but as you said, Clarkie, when they throw up those bombs, mate, good luck.
Joshy, who wins? Give us a margin and a Clive Churchill medalist.
I'm going to say the Panthers by 8. And Appy Coruscant, Clive Churchill.
There you go, the Dally M hooker of the year last night, Appy Coruscant as well. Mate, you enjoy your grand final. We'll chat next week.
Thank you, boys.
Dally M medal last night was won by Nicho Hynes, the Sharks halfback, 38 votes, 5 clear of James Tedesco on 33. Ben Hunt had 32. In the NRLW, Ray C. McGregor, the Sydney Roosters halfback, took out the Dally M. And looking ahead to the grand final in the NRLW on Sunday, ahead of the NRL men's grand final. Newcastle and Parramatta. Newcastle $1.40 with tab. Parramatta $3. But there's been good money for the Eels to cause an upset in that match. And, the likes of, for the Knights, the 17-year-old Rookie of the Year, Jesse Southwell. Gee, she's had a good season. So Rookie of the Year. Last night at the Dally M Awards, and we'll steer that Newcastle side around the park on Sunday, looking for, well, one of those two teams. It'll be a maiden premiership, the two latest expansion clubs in the NRLW as well. Just on the text line here, we've got a wedding to give a shout out to. Morning, boys. Can I send a shout out to my son, Riley, who gets married today to his beautiful bride, Renee, at Tweed Heads, wishing you both all the success you deserve in the future. Riley and Renee, have a great day.
Have a wonderful day, Riley and Renee. I hope it's a fantastic occasion for you and the family, and many success into the future.
We're talking about Joel Selwood's retirement earlier. Geelong champion of the game, you'd have to say. Morning, boys. Totally agree with Clarkie regarding players' longevity and losing injured. Selwood said at his press conference yesterday that he wouldn't miss not sleeping at night or crawling to the toilet after games, as he was in that much pain that he couldn't walk. Unbelievable stuff, says Craig from Tamworth. Morning, boys. Couldn't agree with Pup more. These days, people do some amazing things, and all of a sudden, they are a great. Not the case. You must be able to do it day in, day out, under any circumstances. Look at Warnie. His life would be falling apart off the field, yet he would cross the boundary line and achieve greatness. Selwood is an absolute great of the game. What a way to finish, and even kicked a banana 45 metres out while getting smashed, and it still went through. Unbelievable player. Come on, Penrith. Let's rip these Eels apart. Panthers 13+, says Panther Dan.
Did you know 13+ has been the best backed result?
Oh, I'm not surprised at that.
Oh, yeah.
No. Line 8.5, Penrith. I think a lot of punters will be thinking it'll either be Penrith by 13+,
yeah,
or Parramatta by very little.
Very little, yeah. Mm. I understand that, but I just thought the best backed is 13+ in a grand final. Battle of the West.
Five of the last seven have been 1-12 results. The Roosters beating the Storm 21-6, mm, and when the Storm beat the Cowboys, was it 32-4? Yeah. I think it might have been in those last seven grand finals. It's been the blowout.
I'm expecting a really tight game. Mm. I really am. I just don't see a blowout coming.
Gowie, how are you? Where are you?
Yeah, morning, fellas. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, on my way home. So, I'll be home Friday morning and can't wait.
How was the President's Cup?
Yeah, it was good. It was interesting. You know, the Americans were just way better of a team, but definitely the Nationals put up a damn good fight, that's for sure. And it was interesting, you know, not to have the Ken Smiths and Mark Leishmans and Louis Oosthuizens in the team. But all in all, I think they did a pretty good job. But you know, they're going to have to change that format because it doesn't look like the internationals have got any show at all. It's just the Americans are just dominating. And, you know, I don't see any more American players going over to the LIV Tour. So they're going to be strong for the next few years, that's for sure.
Gary, speaking of the LIV Tour, have they done a broadcasting deal yet with somebody?
Yeah, this is an interesting one, Clarkie. It's they couldn't get a deal done where the broadcaster would pay them for all the content. They've actually just had to pay Fox Sports US to actually have it on cable TV over here. So it only broke yesterday that they're doing a deal with Fox Sports over here. And let's wait and see what comes of it. But that's a first in sports. They're going to have to, I guess, show them that they've got a real good product and that that everybody wants to watch. But, you know, just being amongst the, you know, different people over here, you know, in the last week in Charlotte is... you know, there's not a lot of big fans here of the LIV Tour, that's for sure.
What have we got this week? The Sandersons Farm Championship. Have you got a tip for us in that?
Yeah, there's not much doing this week. They've actually got the Dunhill Lynx on over in the UK. Mm. We've got a bunch of Aussies playing in that. But I like Denny McCarthy this week. He's had two top 10s here, a top 20. I don't know what odds he's at. He could be at any old odds. I couldn't get him up.
26.
For some reason I was being... $26, yeah. He's coming into some good form. And Hendrick Norlander, who I've actually tipped before, he's coming off a couple of top fours, actually. But he's the player in form, definitely. We've only got one Aussie in the field, which is Harrison Endicott. So it'll be interesting to see how the young fella plays. But pretty weak field to start the season, that's for sure.
Are you nervous about Sunday or more excited and you're confident about the Eels, Gowie?
Oh, yeah, I'm excited because I bought tickets last week just in the hope they may get to the grand final. So that'll be exciting, that's for sure. And you know better than me, Loz. You know, I'm just a fan sitting at the side just hoping. We've been waiting a long time for this to happen. So I've got the whole family going out. It should be a cracking day.
No, outstanding. The whole family.
Yeah. Oh, I think it'll be a great grand final. I really do. I think it'll be tight. I think Penrith are obviously deserving favourites, and you know they could go down as one of the really great NRL teams if they can win this grand final on Sunday. But Parramatta, you know, 36 years of waiting for a grand final victory. They've been there a couple of times. Great opportunity on Sunday to you know win and erase the memories of those couple of grand finals that they lost, but I don't think there'll be much in it. I think there's some wonderful matchups all across the paddock, and I'm just hoping for a really good game.
Well, I've had Benji Marshall with me all week over here, and I've chewed his ear off on all the plays and all the players. I've gone through all the players, and he gives Parra a chance.
How's Benji feeling about the Tigers' job?
Yeah, good, actually. I've grilled him about that too, and at what he's going to do and how he's going to do it, how he's going to transition from being a player to all of a sudden be a coach when it's not about you anymore. It's about the team and the players and everybody around you. But as we know, he's full of confidence. He plays golf a similar way. That we got into an argument on the golf course because he had his ambitions mixed up with his ability on what type of shot he could hit. So I was trying to teach him how to play golf strategically, but he hadn't got that in him. I said, you better get that in your coaching because you haven't got it on the golf course. So
that's how he played.
A couple of days with him, actually. Oh, he just loves to hit the ball so far. It's ridiculous. But sometimes it goes in the water. Actually, 80% of the time it goes in the water.
Gary, tell us, just on the President's Cup, curious, what was Justin Thomas having a sook about?
Oh, about Siwoo Kim, because Siwoo gave it the big, quiet, please, you know, because he'd hold a couple of putts and he was pretty pumped up, Siwoo Kim, because they put him out first to upset Justin Thomas, because it doesn't take much to upset him. So they sent him out first, and if Siwoo Kim could actually get the ball rolling, and that's what he was there to do, was try to upset him. And he did a great job because he won his match. So, but the interesting bit, when they had the after party, all the Americans come back to the Internationals Hotel and party to them at all hours in the morning, and I think everything was forgotten after that.
Well, Gowie, safe travels home, and you and the family have a great day on Sunday there at Homebush.
Thanks, fellas.
Paul Gow there, and his tips for that tournament, the Sanderson Farms Championship with Tab. He likes Denny McCarthy, who's $26, and his roughy, Henrik Norlander, at $101. We've got coming up Adam Pengilly, but first, Loz, Foxy Cleopatra. We need an update here. So it was in for today at Geelong. Scratched.
Yeah, bad barrier.
Okay, so you've now got it in for two races. Mooney Valley tomorrow night.
Oh, my God.
Race one. Race one at the Valley tomorrow night. Over the mile. Blake Shin, book for the ride. Barrier 8 of 8. And you're
Shinny.
All...
Shinny's not getting a ride. Shinny might as well stay on the couch, mate.
Well, it's also in for Saturday in the Group 2.
Of course it is.
Tab Edward Manifold.
What's
Flemington.
It doing next Wednesday?
Race 3. And Foxy, in a field of 14, has drawn 9 with Blake Shin book for the ride there as well.
Yeah, I think Shinny, she'll run Saturday, I think.
Just relax till Saturday, Shinny.
Just treating it nicely.
What's wrong with today? What's wrong with what's happened? What don't you like today?
Oh, it's just conditions aren't in the favour, mate. Barrier draw.
Saturday
just,
better?
Yeah, we're just keeping all our options open. As I said to you on Monday, we like going through the grades, Middo.
Price are you on Saturday?
Oh, about 23, I think.
Okay. Race 3, Edward Manifold, Foxy Cleopatra, $26 to win. Yeah.
What time's she running on Saturday, Middo?
That would be 10 to 2, pup.
Okay.
1:50 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. Dada, saving
down
Sunday,
for my barbecue
course,
as well. Perfect timing, Loz.
Mate, yeah, well, I think that's where she's going Saturday, but they'll make a decision today. But that was sort of the plan. They were just going to have a look at the barrier draws in all these races and see what the best option was for her. So she will be running. Put it that way. She'll either run on Friday or Saturday.
Someone's just texting, Foxy is a cat.
What?
Well, at this stage, Foxy's a pony.
A milk drinker.
I know that.
Foxy is not a cat.
No, this well.
I haven't booked another pony for Kelsey Lee's birthday. Put it that way. At this stage, Foxy's coming.
Haters are going to hate.
That's it. Always.
I'll make sure there's no bindies on my front lawn, Loz. And it's not raining.
She'll be right. I'm telling you, wait for the signal. Wait for the signal.
By the way, yesterday, Bjørn Baker was at the grand final lunch in typical Bjørn form. Great to see. And he'll have his first Tab Everest runner. Overpass was confirmed yesterday morning. $15 chance as it stands with Tab and will run for slot holder James Kennedy, the Melbourne jeweller and businessman. And it's going to run in the Premier on Saturday, which is race 7 on the card, and it's a $6.50 chance with Tab. So well done to Bjorn and his team. So we've got Godolphin, James Harron, and Bon Ho with decisions to make. Three horses to go.
That's right. Cassette Legend is out.
Gone. Yeah. Spelling. Back to the paddock.
Right out. If you had a choice.
Oh, let me get the market up.
Get the market up. And if you had a choice, who are you going with, Middo? Because... you know, the options, you always got plenty of options, but realistic chance of winning or, you know, running top three. What's left?
Well, Godolphin have got their options. They'll be fine.
Would they have been disappointed in poor Lily?
Maybe 1,000 first up, not her go anymore.
Yeah. I think everyone was expecting her to.
I think over 1,200, she's fine.
Yeah. I think everyone was expecting her to run well, but anyway.
I don't know. Cool and Gatter. Do you take the punt?
Cool and Gatter.
Yeah, maybe Cool and Gatter. $26 in the market. Yeah, I mean, Godolphin's got Paul Elliott in secret, obviously. Bella Nipotina. Bit of a wild card, maybe. Yeah, I was sure Bella Nipotina had won at Randwick, and it was back in the Sapphire, back in the championships, the Group 2. Yes, it only beat Tricky Gal and Bellucci Babe, you could say, although they're decent gallopers, but that was on a heavy 10. And knowing what we've had in Sydney.
It's going to be a wet couple of months ahead for us, Minna.
Yeah, according to good old Nina, who's back in the house.
Yeah, can she just rack off?
Oh, seriously. Done
I've
with
had enough.
Adam Pengilly, morning to you.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys.
So, yes, we're down to three slots remaining after Overpass was given James Kennedy's slot yesterday.
Yeah, no great surprise, was it, Jared? He's the horse that's been circling a slot for a while now. He gets a chance to show his wares in the Premier Stakes on the weekend. He's going to mix it with the big boys in the Everest in a couple of weeks' time. Obviously, he went around in the shorts and held his own to an extent. So, he was the next cattle off the rank, logically. I heard your boy speaking a few minutes ago. What do they do with his last three slots? I don't know where they go, to be honest. I really don't. Godolphin hold the key, obviously, with in secret, but do they want to run around in Everest? I'm not too sure. Paul Lely's still there, even though he was probably a tad disappointing in the Moyer Stakes. Getting up to Sydney on a bigger track probably will suit him. And he's a stallion as well, so that's probably going to entice them to maybe run in a race like the Everest. I know it's not a Group 1, but it didn't hinder going to stud several years ago when he won it as a three-year-old and didn't have a Group 1 on his resume by the time he went to stud. So I don't know what they do. What I would be doing, I'd be making a phone call to Bjørn Baker and saying, okay, you got Overpass in the race. What about Shades of Rose? I know he was sort of thinking about putting her in the paddock and spelling her, but I'm not quite sure she's fully gone for a spell, if that's the correct term I can put it. I know it's a massive, massive step up in grade, but at least you know she's going to jump, put herself in the firing line and sell in the first three or four, and who knows from there on. So, it's going to be a scramble for these last three spots. I'm not exactly sure where the slot holders are going to go.
I think, you know what, why not? She's up and flying.
Yep.
Take a punt. Seven, yep. You know she's a winner. Seven wins from nine starts. Like you say, huge step up, but it's got to that point, hasn't it, now for those slot holders? May as well it is a pun, isn't it?
Well, I'm finding, Jared, that the longer you wait now, the harder it is. Whereas previously at the start of the Everest concept, like, you know, a lot of slot holders are waiting for the last few weeks and picking up really good horses. But our sprinters at the moment, like our top line sprinters, are so well established. Everyone knows their form and there hasn't been a whole lot coming through the ranks. They've been picked up early and these slot holders are being forced to wait late in the piece. So I really scrambling to try and find something suitable. So I don't know if it's going to be a change of tactics from the slot holders next year when they sort of think about trying to lock in horses for the race. But, yeah, you're right. You look at the market now, Jared, and There's not a whole lot there, is there? Not a whole lot of depth outside that first five or six.
Now, we know that the Queen had a love for the horses, Adam, but I see the King's having a, well, his first Australian runner getting a start in the Metrop. But does he like the horses, Charles?
I don't think, not as much as his mother, I don't think, Prince Charles or the King. I think, obviously, Queen Elizabeth, she was right into her horses. And some of the vision that we saw in the last couple of weeks after her death of her watching races at Royal Ascot was just outstanding, wasn't it? So amazing to see. So the King will officially have his first runner in Chalkstream in the Metrop. I've seen the ownership details have been switched across, and it just simply reads the King now. So Chalkstream's going to be an outsider in the Metrop. Obviously, down the weights gives him a chance. I think Chris Waller's still trying to work him out, this horse. He put in one or two really good runs last preparation. Probably hasn't quite fired this campaign. Obviously, with the Queen's death, probably hampered his preparation a little bit too. But, yeah, he gets his chance in the Metrop on the weekend.
Just doesn't strike me as a follower of the horse industry, the racing industry. I keep calling him Prince Charles, but the King.
No, I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think so. Well, I don't think he shares the same passion as his mother did. But anyway, if he wins a Group 1 on Saturday, who knows?
He might be on the phone.
He might be on the phone to Chris Waller.
Yeah, love him to get on the phone to the French racing authorities and throw his weight around there, because it looks like Very Elegant won't be running in the Arc de Triomphe on Sunday.
This is revenge for the submarine still, Jared.
Well, we've had many texts suggesting that, and also the Bledisloe Cup referee as well. So
yes, that's right. He copped it, didn't he? So, no, it officially won't happen now. The ownership group announced last night they won't be paying a supplementary entry fee to try and get her into the race, given she wasn't fully paid up. So the Arc's officially off for Very Elegant, unfortunately. What a shame, isn't it? Would have loved to have seen her go over there and contest that race. I've got question marks about her current form at the moment, but from a sporting point of view, geez, it would have been a fantastic theatre to watch to see how she went on Sunday night. Our time, but unfortunately, it won't happen now. So we've got other options they can maybe contest. Another Group 1 race, I think, on the weekend. They can maybe lower their sights to another crack, but we won't be seeing the Melbourne Cup champion and Leventhal Group 1 are in the Arc, unfortunately.
Just a few texts on the Tab Everest here. Morning, boys. Middo, it doesn't matter what horses are selected. They're all running for second. Nature Strip should be even money. Anything better than that is like stealing money, says Bo in Albury. And Bo, when it's all said and done, Bo's probably spot on here, Adam. The champ's going to have an off day.
He turns up and he's at his best, Jared, or even, you know, 90-95%. I think he's winning the race at the moment, isn't he? Unless maybe, you know, a barrier draw might be able to slip him up. Whether he draws barrier one or two and is a little bit slow into stride and gets jammed or something like that. But as we've seen in his last couple of starts, his versatility now to take a sit off the speed, he is just a complete racehorse at the moment. So $2.10 is skinny for a lot of people, but if he's at his best, it's probably going to be a good price.
Looking forward to getting your mail for Tab Epsom Day. What are you laughing at?
I'm just laughing at this text that came through, but I can't,
you can't read
that one out.
Big Parade, someone's also mentioned.
I was going to say, Jared, he was a chance last year.
Yeah.
As they picked up for last year's race. I think Mark Newman said, no, I'd prefer to run him in the Sydney Stakes, a much more realistic option. So it's not as if he hasn't been discussed in the past, but he might pick up a spot this year. You never know.
What about a horse? I know he gets back, but Artorias.
Yeah, he was the one I looked at, Loz, but I don't think Anthony and Sam Freeman, he's not going to be ready. I think he's only got back to quarantine down in Melbourne a couple of weeks ago. So they were planning, I think, one run in the champion sprint down the straight at Flemington on the final day of the carnival, and that was it, I think, given he's had three runs over there in Europe. So I'm not exactly sure where he is right now, but I only know he got into quarantine in the last couple of weeks with that first shipment of European horses. So I don't think he's ready to run the Everest in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, of course, just on Big Parade, of course, it won the Sydney Stakes, the consolation race, I guess, last year, didn't it?
Yep.
By the way, Loz, Cookie, his tip won yesterday, stylized in the first there at Rose Hill. So
I backed it too. Yeah. So I was happy about that.
Beautiful. Mate, you have a good day. Looking forward to your Epsom Mail tomorrow.
See you, boys. Have a good day.